For the caveat before I start, that I'm not going to be discussing farm to school today, but rather going to present some complementary strategies to increase access to healthy foods in low-income communities that have been underserved. And before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators, Rebecca Flournoy and Mary Lee from PolicyLink. So PolicyLink works on several key strategies such as housing, infrastructure, transportation, climate change, civic engagement, economic development, and of course health. Our focus is on improving conditions for low-income and underserved communities of color with an eye for making local, state, and federal policy impact through a focus on neighborhoods and regional equity. Our Center for Health in Place works on place-based approaches to address social determinants of health, and our goal of reduced health disparities is part of a larger social justice agenda. Our focus on environmental factors that influence health marks a key difference between the approach of our center and that which is used by many healthcare organizations, organizations that strictly focus on individuals, and comes out of the recognition that where you live affects how you live, which is discussed in detail in our framework, which examines social, economic, and service and physical environmental features that's presented in our recent report, Why Place Matters. We recognize, of course, the importance of individual and healthcare-focused programs as key pieces of the puzzle to improve health outcomes, but see these efforts as necessary but not sufficient. Hence, we've chosen to focus on other parts of the equation. And operating with a community lens is a key part of this focus, since we believe that residents are the real experts on the issues that they grapple with every day, and we must seek community buy-in before making structural and systemic changes that will affect the immediate surroundings of our constituents. So, public health researchers, policymakers, advocates have increasingly acknowledged and focused on how community factors, including the local food environment, influence health. Many low-income communities and communities of color have struggled with an overabundance of unhealthy food options and limited access to stores or markets selling a good selection of high-quality, affordable, healthy foods. An increasing public and political attention to the nation's obesity crisis has provided a window of opportunity for increasing access to healthy foods in underserved low-income communities. Residents want nearby grocery stores, farmers markets, corner stores that sell healthy food because these markets bring a range of benefits. In addition to improving health, they attract additional retail stores, bring jobs and other economic benefits, and also serve as powerful anchor institutions of a healthy, thriving community. Our healthy food work includes a spectrum of efforts and demonstrates several effective strategies. We've engaged in a range of research, technical assistance, policy development, and advocacy activities focused on improving healthy food access, and I'm going to discuss each by way of some examples. Our research in pursuit of policy goals has been a particularly robust strategy, and there have been two primary phases of research in our healthy food access work. First phase focused on framing the problem and highlighting the potential for change. And to make sure that we included a community voice, our research for the first report that's listed here began with stakeholder interviews to further our understanding of the critical issues, describe the importance of food access problems, recognize the progress community-based organizations and advocates have made in developing innovative and successful solutions, and finally surface promising policy opportunities. We're going to be releasing an updated version of this report next year. Our second phase of research is focused on strengthening the case for the need for change. We partnered with UCLA and the California Center for Public Health Advocacy to analyze data from the California Health Interview Survey in a report that we released earlier this year. This study examined the relationships between the retail food environment, neighborhood poverty, and obesity and diabetes for the entire state of California, and the report includes policy recommendations around improving food environments and highlights broader issues around the connections between place and health. So following a series of reports, I'll give you a couple examples in the last slide, as well as the establishment of strong relationships with key constituencies, we've been serving in an advisory role in policy development efforts at the local, state, and federal levels. Working in California in particular, we're very fortunate to have been part of a range of cutting-edge policies. And this year's FARM, or also known as the Food Bill, reauthorization, presented an imperative to get involved at the federal level. We've contributed to development of the bill language along with other advocates, and made modifications throughout the process to make sure that the needs of low-income communities were being represented with legislators and other stakeholders. That's involved producing fact sheets, highlighting key arguments, meeting with legislators and staff, educating various members of the process about the issues, and advocating for specific policy positions. We've invited policymakers to speak at forums on food access, provided testimony at hearings, and identified and prepared resident leaders to testify. To make sure the community was represented, we engaged local organizations and other advocates in supporting legislation. To make sure that also, again, that we're understanding local perspectives most accurately and as climates change, and to broaden the network of advocates ready to work together for change, we've conducted a series of meetings with advocates around the country to facilitate an in-depth discussion of issues. In San Francisco last fall, PolicyLink and the Bay Area Local Initiative Support Corporation hosted a joint convening on food retailing to discuss models for grocery store development that can effectively serve low-income communities. Participants included members of community-based organizations, economic development groups, developers, retailers, and city governments. We'll be putting on a similar convening in Los Angeles next January. We've also partnered with the California WIC Association to engage a variety of stakeholders and community groups to discuss the implications of recent changes in the WIC food package, which now includes fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and low-fat dairy. We believe that policymakers should adopt measures to ensure that the expanded food package is accessible by building capabilities of existing WIC-authorized dealers and expanding the number of authorized WIC vendors and facilitating grocery store expansion. I've also been fortunate to be involved with the Healthy Eating Active Communities Initiative, which is aimed at reducing childhood obesity in California, funded by the California Endowment, to support the efforts of 6 low-income communities that are undertaking creative approaches to improve conditions in their neighborhoods by promoting increased access to high-quality, healthy food and opportunities for safe physical activity. As technical assistance providers, we've tailored our support to enhance the efforts of each local collaborative, including coaching, consulting, providing support for research, as well as skills training on policy, legislative advocacy, and negotiation. Each of these sites are now implementing an array of strategies to reach their objectives, including exploring grocery store development, negotiating with retail chains and local merchants, participating in local city planning and land use processes, and working with foundations, developers, and local officials. Communications and outreach are key parts of building public and political will. And your critical elements of any successful advocacy strategy are included as part of all of the efforts that I'll be describing today. That involves issuing press releases, an active pursuit of media coverage of food access issues in many forms, print media, online, now radio, TV, and the blogosphere. We distribute copies of publications wherever we go. We've promoted these issues on listservs, newsletters, websites, a range of public speaking venues, ranging from national conferences to local community events, and also strategically use op-eds, blogs, Wikipedia posts, YouTube, as opportunities, as e-advocacy is a growing movement that's gained considerable momentum and influence. We were fortunate to be part of a very successful viral video campaign that was produced by some local students in South Los Angeles to raise issues about food access amongst teens and allowed them to forward this video on. Environmental and policy interventions affect large numbers of people and are efficient uses of public resources. And several specific policy recommendations have emerged from this body of work. New funding could be used to stimulate development of retail projects by offering technical assistance and financing options such as low-interest loans and seed grants to purchase refrigeration equipment and other supplies that are essential to store and preserve fresh fruits and vegetables. In addition to larger-scale retail strategies, attention to smaller-scale community innovations such as mobile vendors, vending machines, farmers markets, co-ops, community-supported agriculture, and improved transportation to existing retailers is also needed. For example, farmers markets and mobile vendors typically need less time to transition from vision to operation and can produce added benefits by supporting local farmers. The health implications of fast food restaurants should be considered in community planning and the development permitting process. Local governments should strive to achieve a balance of retailers that support community health. Restaurants should be required to provide consumers with nutritional information for all standard items on in-store menus and menu boards. You know, given the proliferation of fast food restaurants and convenience stores, having immediate access to nutrient content of items sold can help consumers make healthier choices. Menu labeling laws have now passed in New York, California, and we're excited to monitor the progress of those efforts. Given that individuals living in low-income communities have the highest rates of obesity, it's important to target interventions to these communities, since directing resources towards communities that are most in need can maximize the impact of interventions. Grocery chains have historically been less likely to serve low-income communities and communities of color, and new policies and market-based incentives are needed to reverse these trends. This work does, of course, come with challenges. It's an individualistic society that we live in, and there's a lot of people who, you know, operate with the attitude that if it's not their problem, then they don't need to be part of the solution. More proximal concerns, jobs, violence, the economy often take priority over health issues, which are often seen as more distal. And one of the challenges of working with communities is that it's often difficult to get local advocates to focus on regional, state, and national policy issues because their focus is on the immediate environment. There's also many barriers to retail development, you know, crime, safety, perceptions of crime, market data that often underestimates purchasing power despite tremendous potential for profitability due to the increased volume in dense urban areas. Large sites can often be challenging to come by in urban areas since land parcels tend to be smaller, and many supermarkets are unwilling to veer away from big box suburban models with large parking lots, higher construction costs, lengthy permitting processes, and then financing also pose threats. There's several needed next steps to combat these challenges. More research is needed, not only to establish the scientific base, but also to make the fiscal case. Intervention efforts will benefit from evaluations undertaken to determine which policies are most effective under a range of circumstances. And we must engage communities in research and advocacy pursuits using tools such as community-based participatory research. Minorities are underrepresented in most studies, and the public needs to be brought aboard to build a base of support. And policy change must be coordinated on all levels, from local to federal policy. But in all, you know, there's exciting opportunities to expand this work, to secure additional policy wins across the spectrum, and to build the capacity of local groups. By capitalizing strategically on windows of opportunity, valuing and lifting up community insights, building key partnerships with a range of stakeholders, and actively building public and political will for change, we can continue to ensure that all communities are healthy communities that are filled with choice and opportunity. And I encourage you to visit our website today if you'd like to learn more about any of these efforts or download any of our publications.